Supper is a long affair, and gradually, with food and time, I feel more like myself. Simon has not come to supper, and as my head clears, my embarrassment rises. I was foolish to have drunk the absinthe, to have gone with him alone, and then that horrific vision. But for an instant I saw the temple. I saw it. It's within our grasp. It is not the greatest comfort on this night, but it is some comfort, and I shall hold fast to it. Mr. Worthington makes a toast to Christmas. Anne is introduced and asked to sing. She does, and the assembly applauds for her, none more loudly than Tom, who shouts, "Bravo!" The governess comes forth with a sleepy Polly, who clutches her doll. Admiral Worthington beckons to the girl.
"Sit upon my knee, child. And am I your own good uncle, then?"
Polly climbs up into his lap and gives a shy smile. Felicity looks on, a grim set to her mouth. I cannot believe she would be so childish as to be jealous of a little girl. Why does she do such things?
"What? Is that all the payment due unto uncles these days? Let's have a true and proper kiss for your uncle."
The child squirms a bit, her eyes darting from person to person. Each one gives her the same eager expression.
"Go on, then. Give him a kiss."
Resigned, Polly leans in, eyes closed, and gives Admiral Worthington's handsome cheek a kiss. Murmurs of approval and affection float about the room.
"Ah, well done.
There we are.
You see, Lord Worthington, the child does love you like her own father. Such a good man."
"Papa," Felicity says, rising, "Polly should be getting to bed now. It is late."
"Sir," the governess looks to Admiral Worthington for his orders.
"Yes, very well. Go on then, Polly dear. I'll be up to sprinkle fairy dust on you later, darling, to make sure you have beautiful dreams."
Felicity stops the governess. "Oh, do let me take our Polly to bed." The governess gives a slight bow of her head.
"As you wish, miss."
I don't like this. Why does Felicity want to be alone with Polly? She wouldn't harm the child, would she? Making excuses, I slip from the room in order to follow them. Felicity leads Polly upstairs to the nursery. I stand just outside the door, watching. Felicity's crouched low, her arms on Polly's slight shoulders.
"Now, Polly, you must promise me something. Promise me that you will lock your door before you go to bed. Promise?"
"Yes, cousin."
"And you must lock your door every night. Do not forget now, Polly. It is very important."
"But why, cousin?"
"To keep out the monsters, of course."
"But if I lock the door, Uncle can't sprinkle me with fairy dust."
"I will sprinkle you with fairy dust, Polly, but you must keep Uncle out."
I don't understand. Why would she be so insistent on keeping her own father out? What could the Admiral do that could possibly... Oh, God! The full, horrible understanding rises in me like a great bird, the wings of truth unfurling slowly, casting a terrible shadow. You cannot go to her with anything that matters. No, no admirals. Do you suppose there is some evil in people that makes others do things?
I move into the shadows as Felicity leaves Polly's room. She stands for a moment, listening for the click of the lock. She seems so small. At the stairs I step out, surprising her.
"Gemma! You startled me. Is your head ringing? I shall never try absinthe again, I can tell you that. Why aren't you at the party?"
"I heard what you said to Polly," I say. Felicity's eyes are defiant, but I'm not afraid of her this time.
"Indeed? What of it?"
"Was there no lock on your door?" I ask. Felicity takes a sharp breath.
"I don't know what you are implying, but I think you should stop at once," she says.
I place my palm on her hand, but she pulls away.
"Stop it,"
she spits out. "Oh, Fee, I am so sorry." She shakes her head, turns away from me so I cannot see her face.
"You don't know how it really is, Gemma. It's not his fault. The blame is my own. I bring it out in him. He said so."
"Felicity, it most certainly is not your fault."
I knew you wouldn't understand.
I understand that he is your father. She looks back at me, her face streaked with tears.
He didn't mean it. He loves me. He said so.
Fee.
That's something, isn't it? It's something.
She's biting back the sobs, her hand against her mouth as if she can catch them, push them back down. Fathers should protect their children.
The eyes flash. The hand points. Aren't you the fine expert on that? Tell me, Gemma, how does your father protect you in his laudanum stupor?
I'm too shocked to answer.
That's the real reason he's not here tonight, isn't it? He's not ill. Stop pretending everything's fine when you know it isn't.
It isn't the same thing at all.
You're so blind. You see what you want to see.
She glares at me.
Do you know what it is to be powerless? Helpless? No, of course not. You're the great Gemma Doyle. You hold all the power, don't you?
We stand there, staring each other down, neither saying a word. She has no right to attack me this way. I was only trying to help. At the moment, I can only think that I never want to see Felicity again. Without another word, I start down the stairs.
Yes, go on, leave. You're always coming and going. The rest of us are stuck here. Do you think he'd still love you if he knew who you are? He doesn't really care, only when it suits him.
For a moment, I do not know whether she means Simon or my father. I walk away, leaving Felicity standing in the shadows at the top of the stairs. The ball is over. The floor is a mess. Gathering coats, yawning goodnights, the ballgoers step across the detritus on the floor. Confetti, crumbs and forgotten dance cards, the withered flower petals. Some of the gentlemen are red-nosed and tipsy. They shake Mrs. Worthington's hand with too much ardour, their voices too loud. Their wives pull them along with a polite but firm, "Our carriage is waiting, Mr. Johnson." Others follow. Some leave with the flush of new love on their dreamy faces. Others wear their dashed hopes and broken hearts in downcast eyes and trembling smiles. Percival asks if he may call on us at home sometime. I do not see Simon. It would seem the Middletons have gone. He's left without saying goodbye. I've made a mess of everything. Kartik, Simon, Felicity, Father. Merry Christmas. God bless us, everyone. But I have seen the temple in a vision. I only wish I had someone to tell.